Would you all please pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. The automatic garage door opens as I gather my belongings out of the Jeep. Walking through our garage to the house door, I hear the tap dancing of little paws on the tile kitchen floor. I reach up and hit the garage door button to close it and slowly open the kitchen door. Because our big old lab Charlie is standing there, goofy as always, and underneath him or to his side is little Soji. She's often kind of hidden. She's our other mutt who's smaller. Faith, do you mind putting up the pictures? There they are, those two goobers. So Soji begins spinning around, jumping up, howling on her brother's back as she greets me. She is so excited. Soji's greetings are what we love most about this funny little girl, whose ears are always like that, by the way, one up and one down. Before we got her, we would come home and enter the kitchen and say, "Anybody miss me?" Now, Charlie, he would be asleep somewhere. Either up on our bed, upstairs, maybe on his bed in the living room or on the sofa. Only after calling his name a few times, "Charlie, Charlie," would he maybe come wandering into the kitchen to greet us. Often, we would have to go find him and see where he was and what he was up to. He had no interest in letting go of his comfy place to greet us. Now, like Charlie, we as people often get attached to things, to memories, to our preconceived ideas and emotions. We are nice and comfy and don't wish to let go of whatever we are holding on to. But not Soji. She lets go of whatever she is doing, looking out the window, chewing on a toy, sleeping comfortably in Tracy's spot on the bed. Soji lets go, and she comes running to meet us. What might it be like if we were able to unbind ourselves to whatever we are attached to and let it go? Might we be able to run freely to Jesus? Jesus comes to Mary and Martha at their request because their brother Lazarus has died. Now, Jesus has let go of his own inhibitions of going to Mary and Martha's because, as you hear in the scripture, the world has learned all about Jesus and there's his signs and his works, his miracles. And now the world is scared. Tensions are rising. Jesus knows it is dangerous for him to return to Martha and Mary, to return to Bethany. And still, Jesus lets go of any fear of risking his life. He heads that way. Now this scene, it sets the stage for the Passion narrative, which will be next week. Because this is the last straw that breaks the camel's back for the Romans. They finally had enough once Jesus comes there to meet with Mary and Martha and Lazarus. So Jesus arrives and Lazarus has been dead 4 days. Now, the 4 days, we might think, okay, 4 days, yeah, he's been dead. But this is actually important because in Jewish customs, they bury the body immediately. And after death, Jewish belief is also held that the soul lingers around for 3 days. So saying that Lazarus has been dead for 4 days, you know he is dead. He is definitely dead. The scriptures want us to realize that. Now Mary and Martha and all their friends are weeping heavily. Both Mary and Martha say to Jesus, "If only you had been here, he would not have died." They're clinging to what was. Not surprisingly, they want their brother to return to life as they know it. They want everything to go back to normal. Normal. They cannot let go of their brother. So Jesus comes to the tomb where Lazarus had been laid, and says to them, "Unbind him and let him go." Them, to Martha and Mary. Unbind him and let him go. Now, letting go is scary. Last summer, as many of you know, I went skydiving. And if you don't mind, Faith, there we go. When you skydive, you have to let go. Let go of the safety of the airplane and jump free falling into the sky for about 45 to 60 seconds before reaching the appropriate altitude in which you can deploy the safety provided by that parachute. A skydiver can't hold on to the airplane. They must jump, trusting the equipment and the timing and the release of that parachute. Letting go is like a free fall. Suspended in midair with nothing to hold on to, you're completely exposed. You're raw, uncomfortable, as a wind whips against your face. Most people, most of us, we prefer not to let go, particularly of an airplane. Only when we know for certain that we've got solid ground and safety to hold on to, that's when we let go. We want to stay in that familiar, connected, comfortable spot. And yet, Jesus is calling us to let go. Jesus says, let go of everything, just as he did in his ministry. Jesus, he let go of safety and a secure home. He didn't even have a tiny house to drive around. He and his followers experienced homelessness. He worked without a strategic plan, without goals and to-do lists. He was not attached to any preconceived notions or ideas, either of his own making or of other people's making. We live in a world which asks us to set goals, keep track of things, keep producing day after day, hold on to what you earn, and to collect more and more. And I'm not just talking about material goods, but also memories and experiences and our emotions. It's like that saying, forgive but never forget. I.e. hold on to it. We work and don't take a break, thinking there is not enough time for Sabbath, for rest, to let go. The psalmist in Psalm 90 cautions us to live our days wisely. The psalmist writes in verse 12, so teach us to count our days that we may gain a wise heart. Mark Buchanan, author of The Rest of God, Restoring Your Soul by Restoring Sabbath, encourages us to worry less about squeezing the life out of every hour of every day, and instead pay attention to the wonder of that hour. That's what Jesus did. Jesus wonders and wanders, backtracks and goes here and there, heals people along the way, teaches people along the way, and confuses people along the way. Jesus is not attached to anything or anyone. And the message he continually gives is one that is life-giving. Letting go. Being non-attached is life-giving. I actually found it interesting while I was doing my research for our sermon this morning that attachment can actually be traced to the root word for to nail. Attachments are like nailing ourselves or our need to someone or something. And you know what? Jesus overcame the nails. I was so excited about that. Jesus overcomes the nails that they put him on into the cross. He overcomes it. And again, Jesus reminds us to let go. To let go of earthly possessions. Let go of expectations. Let go of the past. Let go of those who have died. Just then, Jesus also says to those who are closest to him, if you remember, before he is ascending to heaven, he says to his disciples, "Do not cling to me. Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to God." By letting go, by not being attached to the past, to memories, to emotions, to material things, by letting go of our preconceived notions and expectations, by letting go of even what we think will be in the future, Jesus is showing us how to free ourselves from suffering, and Jesus is giving us life. We have a choice. We can be like my dogs. We can either be like Charlie or Soji. We can choose to cling to our worries, our thoughts, the past, and stay in the comfort of what we know, like Charlie asleep in his bed. Or we can let go of what has been preoccupying us and run with abandonment, tails wagging, howling, and ready to meet the living Christ. The question is, are you going to hold on to whatever is holding you back and creating suffering? Or are you going to jump out and let it go, trusting Jesus? In closing, I have this blessing for you by Reverend Barclay from Enfleshed. And he writes, "May today I offer you what your spirit needs to evolve, to expand, to unfold. May it stretch you just enough, not by force nor demand, but like an invitation that opens slowly, too carefully to be rushed. May you be brave enough to loosen your grip on what you know and perceive, on what you have learned from fear or inherited from lineages of cruelty. May you give thanks for all the sources that gifted you with survival and wisdom, perspective and protection, but not let your gratitude unnecessarily wed you to them forever. Everything has a season, a context, a place, and a time, even truths that have freed you. There may be some things that served you well for an era, but no longer. Maybe it's time to rethink, reshape, review. Maybe you're ready to release another untruth handed to you early on, meant to keep you in line, in order, in compliance. What might be replaced with acceptance of your power and potential? For the sake of your own becoming and also all of us, your soul work is essential to the labors of love, collective and eternal. Material, relational, and communal repair are all forms of healing made possible by souls entangled in shared longings and commitments. So may this day free you and challenge you, surprise and comfort you, that you might have what you need to be courageous, to be humble, and to let your soul grow. Thanks be to God. Amen." Will you, my friends, rise and embody our spirit for our communion song, "Take Our Bread," number 413.